from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Blame me, blame me. Look out, New England. It's KJ and Lions. The most electrifying 4 hours per week you get on WEEI. 617-779-7937, text line 37937, and on the Twitch feed, WEEI Boston. John, that's Gerard Mayo saying, when the heat comes, blame him. And I ask, Dan, where's the heat? The guy hasn't coached a single game. We're literally talking about practice. And I'm wondering, is there already this desire from some people for Gerard Mayo to fail before he even starts?
More to do with who he's following, what's happened with the team the last 2 years. Because think about it, and we talked about this yesterday, and I thought it was a great discussion, and I'm glad we're continuing it now, because no matter what Gerard Mayo does, he's following not just Bill Belichick, who won 6 Super Bowls, but Pete Carroll before him, who's, you know, a Hall of Fame level coach, and Bill Parcells before him, who turned the entire Patriots franchise around. Now you have Mayo, this new guy, only coached for 5 years, albeit won a Super Bowl here as a player. But I think because of who he's following, at least for the first 2 or 3 years or until they become good, there's going to be people that either, in some instances, maybe unfairly criticize him, but just always compare him to that previous standard no matter what. And I also think there's been some instances this season that he's kind of not put his foot in his mouth, but he's brought some of this on himself with some of this mixed messaging.
Again, we're talking about practice, not a game. We're talking about practice. And here's what I don't buy. Nobody in their right mind is going to compare Gerard Mayo to Bill Belichick. In fact, maybe 2 or 3 names in the history of football would you compare to Bill Belichick. And I would venture to say Gerard Mayo is not one of them. If you're talking about coming off of the heels of Bill Belichick, you know what those heels look like? They're really ashy and they have 4 wins. 4 wins last year. Before that, what was it? 7 wins? So 11 wins in the last 2 years?
They had 8 in 2022.
Eight. 12. So 12 wins in the last 2 years. I look more at that's what Gerard Mayo is coming after, not the greatest coach of all time who's like 7 games short of Shula. I'm not looking at him at that at all. So I'm wondering, because you remember there was a loud talk with like, well, why not Vrabel? Why not bring Vrabel in here? And I would argue that the reason why Vrabel isn't here is because he's willing to upstage his employer while he's still employed by them. I think that's why Tennessee was like, well, sure, you can go have them. And when he wasn't chosen, I think that put a bitter pill in some people's mouths, saying like, why not bring Vrabel in? He's been a successful head coach. What he's done in Tennessee, he's got experience. And I hear people say, well, you know, Gerard Mayo has no experience. Well, at one point, you know, Mike Vrabel had no experience. Bill Belichick had no experience. So you have to start somewhere. I would be more concerned if this team's just coming off a 12-5 season and you put a rookie head coach in there. Then I would say, okay, maybe that's not where you would put a Gerard Mayo in that spot. But damn, you win only four games. When do you give a guy a chance?
And I think when it comes to this first year especially, it's not just that he's following Belichick. And I think, look, fair or unfair, he's going to be compared to that because that's just what people around here are used to and have been used to for 20 years. But also, to your point, he wasn't the most experienced candidate on the market, right? Because there was Mike Vrabel, who you mentioned. There was Brian Flores. There was Jim Harbaugh. There was even Raheem Morris in Atlanta had been a head coach before. There were all these candidates that had a lot more experience than Gerard Mayo, not just as head coaches, but coaches in general. That's the thing about Mayo, as I mentioned before. Not only is he a first-time head coach, and it's the first time the Patriots have had a first-time head coach since the 1980s, but he's only been an actual NFL coach for like 5 years.
But you know when it was bad? When they got that first time, I think might have been Ron Meyer you might be referring, who was a first-time head coach when he was here. The teams were horrible.
They were.
So that's when you get the new first-year head coach, when the teams are horrible. Like, I'm just wondering, why would anybody not give Mayo a chance at least until the season starts? I mean, my goodness, this guy is pretty much being walked up to Calvary, it seems like.
Yeah, and again, I think that if you look at the last 2 years, 8-9, 4-13, you fire Bill, there's this reset, things are going to be different. There's a residual anger, I think, among a lot of Patriots fans of how the last 2 years went, how the whole dynasty ended, right? It didn't end in this nice kind of fun way. It ended with Brady leaving and winning somewhere else, the Patriots bottoming out last year, Bill getting essentially fired. I know it was called a mutual parting of the ways, but if you watch that press conference, he didn't look like a guy that wanted to stop coaching.
The asset.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that's part of it. I think the fact that Mayo's going to be compared to Bill is part of it. I think just, and also the whole, like, if you look at where the Patriots are at, right? I mentioned the 4-13 season. You have this quarterback who you pick third overall to be the future. I think people just kind of want to get there, right? They say, hey, we suffered through a 4-13 season. We don't want to have a 5-12 season. We don't want to have a 7-10 season to get. We've been through all that. We want to get back to being the best team in the NFL. And the hard truth is, they're not there right now. They're not going to be there anytime soon. It's probably going to take at least 2 or 3 years. And until that happens, Mayo, fair or unfair, is going to be the punching bag, I think, for a lot of that frustration. As is, and as you know, KJ, this offseason, Bob Kraft's been a huge punching bag as well. And I'm not saying it was not deserved, but that's just been a huge part of it.
That's probably because of the Apple, what was the name of the dynasty? I don't think that helped in terms of some people's mouths in terms of Robert Kraft. Let's just be honest. 617-779-7937, text line 37937. KJ and Lyons on your Labor Day in for Jones and Keefe. Keywords still to come. Tommy Freeze pops EA College Football 25, Twitch Showdown, snitching, and NFL odds. But right now we're talking about Gerard Mayo and his perspective. That's happening right now. Like, so, John, a lot of people are upset because they feel like Mayo has minced his words about the quarterback situation, but his initial words were, before everything happened after that, about Drake May, was Jacoby Brissett is going to be the week one starter. Jacoby Brissett did look bad in the preseason. Drake May looked positive in his growth and whatever his growth chart is supposed to look like inside the team, but getting back to week one, Jacoby Brissett is the starter. So are people upset, do you think, because Drake May isn't the starter, and so now it's like, let's just take our shots on Mayo, even though Mayo told you weeks ago that it was going to be Jacoby Brissett?
Yeah, look, I think part of it is there's a segment of people that want Drake May to start right away. I want Jacoby Brissett to start right away and bring May along a little bit more slowly, but I think there's a segment of people that, look, let's be fair, when you watch the two guys, which one has more potential to help you get to, you know, or have a deep playoff run? It's Drake, man. I'm not saying this year. I'm just saying if you look at it long term. So people just, again, they want to get there and get to that. And I think, look, there's been some mixed messaging this spring and this summer, right? The night Drake May gets drafted and around that weekend, there's reports out there that, hey, maybe they want to sit him all season. And remember, that's what Elliott Wolf and the Green Bay Packers, that's what they've done for 30 years now, is play quarterbacks not in their rookie year, right?
Brett Favre? Well, that manages expectations, does it not, right? If you say, hey, we're going to sit him all season, and if you don't sit him all season, then guess what? It's gone better than expected, right?
And I think when you look at May coming in, he had some things to work on. You look at the roster, it really wasn't a place conducive to start a rookie quarterback. It's one of the reasons they signed.
It's a bad team.
It's one of the reasons they signed Brissett to a one-year deal. Remember, not a multi-year. All these guys they signed were multi-year deals, except Brissett was the 1 year, which is kind of telling you they want to play him right away. But going back to the mixed messaging, which I do think is part of it, you have the early reports they might want to sit him all year. Then Mayo says, okay, Jacoby is our QB1. Then he says, it's a competition. Then it's okay. Back. And then Alex Van Pelt says, no, Jacoby's our QB1. Right? Then you have the night at, or right after the Washington game, excuse me, Mayo saying that Drake May is the second best QB on their roster. Then the next morning on the Greg Hill show, he says, oh, well, Drake May's been outplaying Jacoby.
But now that gap has definitely shrunk here over the last few
weeks. That's what I'm talking
right.
about.
Right. So I think some of that mixed messaging, and I know it's not the exact same situation, but there was some mixed messaging with the Judon situation as well. So I think when you put that together, people look at it and say, well, for 20 years, we didn't really have mixed messaging, and there's concern that is this thing as buttoned down and as ready to go as it needs to be with a rookie head coach? Is it just media gaffes or
yes,
mistakes, or
no,
is this thing as buttoned down as it actually needs to be?
You know what this reminds me of? My wife somehow got me into those Twilight sagas. You remember the Twilight sagas, right?
No, I don't. I never
okay.
watched
really?
Way too this cool had, for that, KJ.
No, wait a minute. This
elite
is how you
movies.
Get into
elite movies, KJ.
There you go. Thank you. Thank you, Jacob Lassner, right? Because sometimes you have to tap into your inner, what's the word? I'm going to say endorphins or what
vampire?
Is it? Here? Estrogen, right? Like, my wife, like, loves these movies. And I'm thinking, really? But the whole premise is, hey, girl, I'm telling you, I'm a werewolf. And she says, but you know what? I like you a lot. I like you a lot, but I'm not sure I want to be a werewolf. I'm letting you know that I'm a damn werewolf. What Gerard Mayo is telling you is like, Jacoby Brissett is going to be the quarterback. And even though you go through all these different emotions of what Drake May is and what he could be and so forth, and I fully believe that if you look at Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and Drake May, Drake May has the greatest possibility of being a better long-term quarterback in the NFL because he's not going to be dependent on fixing the mistakes or whether or not to become a vampire in this Twilight. You see what I'm saying, Jacob, about the vampire situation?
I see it.
Yes, okay, right, for those who've watched Twilight. So here's the thing. Eventually, Drake May is going to be bitten and be in the game. Just give it time. Just the same way there were like three Twilights. Give it time. Drake May will be in there, like you mentioned. When a contract is only signed for a year, that means that guy's pretty much going to be performing for less than a year. So Jacoby Brissett already probably knows that the job is not his at some time during the season unless there's this super regression from Drake May, which I find that very hard to happen in practice. Just the same way I'm saying that, why are we going after Gerard Mayo about his coaching abilities before games are played? Just breathe. So a little kiss on the neck ain't going to hurt at first. Once the bite happens, then everybody be ready.
Yeah, and I think like when it comes to Brissett and where he's at, I agree he should be the week one starter. And that's the thing. I think the result they got to with Brissett being the week one starter and May coming along, and you can pick whatever week you want, week 5, week 9, week 15, whatever, when May's going to start. But I think the decision they got to was the right decision. I just think some of the mixed messages along the way didn't love. And also, if you're going to call it a competition, I mean, I was at training camp practices, and May was getting reps with just the twos and the second offensive line that was getting smoked. And yes, look, Drake May did develop throughout training camp. He did get better, but it didn't feel like a full competition because he wasn't really getting any reps with the ones.
Is Gerard Mayo, is he indebted to telling us the truth? Or is he?
No, but that's what I'm talking about with the mixed messages, right? If you say it's a competition, but
it's
not really.
With the team,
but
if the team knows.
But if you're saying it publicly, that means the team has either been told that by you, or at least they're hearing it. So then they get out there and they see it's not really a competition. And that's the thing, KJ, right? In the grand scheme of things.
Wait, I'll tell you what. Hold your thought. Hold your thought, John, because I know you're about to eat all your lunch right now. 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. You should always stay hungry. Still to come, we'll talk to Tom Carroll. A.K.A. Tommy Freeze Pops. He's going to be heading down to Gerard Mayo's press conference here in the 12 o'clock hour. We'll talk to him next, but right now it's time to trend with Jacob.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Lassner. Yeah, Jacob, turn that up, turn that up. Boy, the fans are going to be missing some winning Patriots football this year. 3 years in a row, damn it.
Don't remind me, KJ. I went to two Patriots games last year and both were losses.
You know, I saw the foreshadowing when I went to the Saints game when Mac Jones threw the pick six, two pick sixes. One of them got called back because a guy tripped him against the Saints. I knew what was coming after that. KJ and Lyons in for Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. Happy Labor Day to you. Coming up, we've got Tom Carroll, a.k.a. Tommy Freeze Pops, part of WEEI.com, our staff here. And I've got to do a subtle work flex where I, John, have won a prize from Odyssey, like national. Like, I beat people in a competition across the company. And it's a minor flex. It's to come. It's a minor flex.
I'm sure it had nothing to do with your co-host.
I do everything for this KJ and Lions show. You know what? I mean, it was short of taking my clothes off to win this thing.
By the way, too, you mentioned we're filling in for Jones and Keefe. I got a chance to listen to Jones and Keefe most of last week. Great show.
Why are you talking about another show when we're here to do a show?
Because they're nice guys, you know? They just gas them up.
Push them to the Odyssey app. See, look, if you want to hear it past shows, you can hear all of last week. Just go to the Jones and Keefe. Yeah, and they'll be back tomorrow. There you go. I do everything for this show, John, and you don't love me. Just kidding. 617-779-7937, text line. 37937, still to come. Would you rather, more likely to, either or? We'll talk about the EA College Football 25 Twitch showdown tonight between John and I. And, of course, we've got to talk about Boston College and their minus 17 against Florida State. I think it'd be very interesting. But let's go ahead and bring in Tom Carroll, a.k.a. Tommy Freeze Pops. Tom, I don't know if you heard the conversation that John and I were having, but it was kind of based around, why does Jerod Mayo have to please the media when he hasn't even coached a single game yet? He's got a presser coming up at 12:45, I believe, this afternoon. So what are your thoughts in terms of how Jerod Mayo has handled things before he's even coached a single NFL game?
Oh, well, first of all, I'm very curious to know about what this contest was that you won nationwide for all of Odyssey. But we can get to that after.
That is what you call it, an elite tease.
Yeah, let's get to that after. I think it's been a bit of a mess, honestly. And I think I was listening to you guys. I heard John talking about it. It's been mixed messaging. It's been talking out of both sides of the mouth. And it's definitely a case of a guy that clearly hasn't been in this role before, not realizing that every single word that this man is going to utter is going to be dissected for 24 straight hours until the next round of when he talks to the media happens. So, you know, I don't know that this type of stuff matters so much for the on-the-field product. I think it's more of a vibe thing, and I don't know how much vibes really are going to matter when this roster is built the way that it is heading into this season. But it's just something interesting to talk about and monitor as the Gerard Mayo era continues to grow here. I think this type of stuff matters more when a team is starting to win a lot of ball games and you just want everything clicking in the right way around the team. When a team's bad, I don't know. You guys tell me, does it really matter what Gerard Mayo says on a week-to-week basis that's going to, you know, affect his team on the field? I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I think it matters a little bit, but I don't think maybe it matters as much as a lot of people think. I think what matters more is what he's saying in the meeting rooms, which we still don't know how that's going, but I think it's going probably better than some of his press conferences. Tom, I want to ask you, though, let's take a look back at training camp for a second, because we've had you on this show before, and one of the things we talked about was, hey, it's Mayo's first year. Just how are things going to look, right? How is he going to run training camp? How is he going to deal with the roster? How is he going to deal with developing players? How is he going to deal with coaching a game as a head coach? Because these are all things, again, he hadn't done before. So you were down there at training camp for almost every single day. What was your takeaway? Do you feel like he was in a good place running training camp? Were you kind of happy with what you saw just operationally and how things were going for a new head coach?
I thought it was interesting that camp felt like it got off to a slower start. But then at a certain point, I want to say about a week or so in, it really ramped up. And yeah, obviously that has to do with them putting the pads on. But I mean, from a physicality standpoint, they weren't really holding back. Like, they were repping all the way to the whistle on a lot of these drills in a way that you haven't seen in the past. And it felt like it was a little bit more high speed than camps have been previously. And I think that was him trying to set a tone for a team that clearly needs to improve over the next few years here. Right. We'll see, you know, it's finally game week, right? So we're finally going to have a real game to talk about, which is exciting. You know, preseason football is a bit of a mirage, as we've learned year after year. So I'm excited to see how it all plays out. I thought it's been interesting to see them doing, like, agility drills deep into camp, too. I know my guy Andy Hart kept pointing that out. You know, why are they running, like, cone drills here at the beginning of practice? But it's clear that Mayo was trying to set a tone when it comes to a conditioning side that maybe was set in a different way previously. It always felt like with Belichick that it was just an expectation that you guys need to show up in tip-top shape, and then we're going to go out there and we're going to, you know, bang out the playbook here practice after practice, where it felt like with the Mayo regime, there was more of an emphasis on honing in on that cardio, that prepping on the workout side, but also the individual drills. So that was one takeaway I had. So we'll see how it all works, man.
Talking to Tom Carroll from WEEI.com, also known as Tommy Freeze Pops here on KJ and Lions. You talk about these agility drills and so forth. John and I have been having a conversation here on the air over the last couple of weeks, and I tell me what you think. If Gerard Mayo, we don't expect this team to go 10-7. I think that's an expectation that only a super fan would have. But if he has right. this team in every game and they win 5 games, 6 games, but they're competitive, these games come down to the last 4 minutes, would there be a kind of a break from those who are right there on the beat covering Mayo? Would there be a break? Would there be an appreciation that he's had these teams in all these games?
I think there has to be. I think that if you're covering this team on a day-to-day, you need to go in with the lens of it's not just about the scoreboard with this team. You need to focus on how these games play out. There needs to be some nuance with covering a team that's going through a transition like this. You need to see if Mayo is putting them in a position to you know, possibly win some of these games or be close in some of these games. You need to be looking at the way that Mayo is handling the games down the stretch here. Clock management, substitutions, play calls. And I know Alex Mampell is going to be a guy that we dissect on the offensive side with play calls and things of that nature as well. So I think that you need to look at it in the way that people were looking at Detroit a few years ago, where Dan Campbell, early in his tenure, the teams were losing a ton of games. But if you really look at those games, especially down the stretch in some of those early seasons, they were in a lot of those games. They were losing one-score games. And now, look, 3-4 years into his tenure, they're a Super Bowl contender. A lot of people are picking them as a trendy NFC pick heading into this season. And I don't think it's outlandish, right? They were a few bad coaching decisions away from making the Super Bowl last season. So that's how I would look at the season. That's how I plan on viewing it. It'll be really, really interesting to see if Mayo can look like a legit head coach, having really never done anything like this outside of running the defense on the field, right? I'm fascinated to watch it, man. The team might not win a lot of games, but it's going to be interesting.
Tommy, I want to get your thoughts on this Patriots defense, because all the talk throughout the summer, as well as even on our shows here, has been about Drake May, Jacoby Brissett, the offensive line, the weapons on offense. It's really been offense-focused. And this is a defense that now doesn't have Matt Judon, doesn't have Christian Barmore, has a first-year defensive coordinator in DeMarcus Covington, and they lose Bill and Steve Belichick as well. Where do you look at this, Steve? Do you think they're talented enough and Covington's good enough that they're still going to be a top-tier unit? Do you think there's going to be some drop-off there? What are your expectations for this defense?
I think the defense, and this is not breaking news, the defense is clearly going to be better than the offense, right? But
I hope so.
I am sort of in the... Yeah, you'd hope, right? We'll see. I am in the camp that the defense had the numbers and had the reputation it had last year because of the schedule they played. And there was a very weak stretch there in the middle of the season. And, you know, Patriot fans will remember it well. You were playing Tommy DeVito. You had that horrible game with the Chargers that might have been the worst football game ever played in the history of North America. I mean, there was a really weak stretch in the middle of the season there. And yes, I know that it's impressive that they did what they did based on the injuries they had last year. But again, it's one of those things where you can't just look at scoreboard. You have to use some nuance and look at the teams they were playing. And I just wasn't all that impressed, you know, knowing the competition they were going up against. So now you come into a season, you lose Judon. Obviously, you didn't have him for most of last year, but now you really don't have him. You don't have your arguably best defensive player in the interior there with Christian Barmore. And Christian Gonzalez has had kind of a weird training camp, right? He hasn't really stood out the way that people expected him to. And, you know, maybe some of that is personality, and maybe he's one of those game day guys, right, that really pops on game day as opposed to training camp and preseason. So my expectations are tempered for this defense, but you know, again, we got real football this week. You know, preseason is mirage. I really want to see how they look against real competition.
Tom Carroll, a.k.a. Tommy Freeze Pops, thanks for hanging out on KJ and Lyons. Before you go, since it's Labor Day marking the end of summer, do you consider sherbet an ice cream?
Ooh, yeah. Yeah, it's definitely in that camp. One thing I wanted to hit on before we go, guys, because I know this is just me selfishly.
Wait,
knowing
you're going
that
outside the John boundaries
Lyons
now? Okay.
Yeah, I know John Lyons is kind of like a offensive line guru, if you will.
Right?
The boring
stuff,
right? The boring stuff, yes,
right.
Sir, yes.
Yeah, so it's boring, but I think it's important because we all agree that the Patriots are not going to win a lot of games this year.
Wait, and Tommy, you're about to end the segment on talking about the offensive line?
Hey, it's a great thing, KJ. Let him roll here.
Sorbet or is it ice cream?
Maybe I'm setting you guys up for another segment here, and it'll be like a I hang up and listen type of thing. But Will Campbell played last night, yep. LSU. LSU-USC. He's the presumptive best left tackle heading into next spring's draft.
Wait,
could be the number one pick. I just want to pick John's brain and see if he got to watch him yesterday.
Call John.
So, Tommy, we brought
you on here to talk about Patriots, and you're salivating over a guy who played in a college game last night?
Hey, so Tommy.
Oh, my gosh.
Tommy can hang up and listen. And
Thanks, Tommy. Hang up and listen.
Appreciate
it. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Yeah, you got it.
Listen, I will say on that, how about USC going there to Vegas, winning 27-20? That's a defense that's a defense that had so much trouble last year. For them to hold LSU to 20, and it's kind of nice to see Brian Kelly still angry and upset after he bolted from Notre Dame. And I like LSU, but I'm not a huge Brian Kelly fan. But on Will Campbell, look, had the couple penalties, looked pretty legit all game. If the Patriots get a top five pick,
how fast does paint dry when you put it on a wall in 10 minutes? I mean, that's what we're asking right here.
Hey.
Like, I don't, as a Patriots fan, I could care less about some kid in college right now.
You better care about him, KJ.
No, here's the thing.
You better.
Because now what you're really getting into subconsciously is, hey, I want this team to be bad enough to go get some kid in college right now. How about let's try and go out there and compete and maybe upset Cincinnati? That's the feeling I would have as a fan. Like, I want to know, like, can this game be close with 4 minutes left and you can trick Joe Burrow into making a mistake against the defense and pull off the upset that would have everybody talking for the week, right? Why are we thinking in the future of an offensive lineman? Like, if it was Marvin Harrison Jr. in his last year at school like last year, okay, you could fantasize about that. But, I mean, come on. An offensive lineman we're fantasizing about?
You, well,
oh my gosh!
They need it, man.
How many rice are inside of my bowl of stir fry here? Huh?
Not enough to protect
Boring.
Drake May. Not enough, man. I'm telling you.
But to what Tommy was saying, and I got to get to this about Jerod Mayo, and I'll reiterate it. Look, he's the first time head coach of a team that won four games last year. He is not supposed to be some damn expert or Merlin or Einstein that's going to say, hey, we're going to be 12-5 suddenly. Now, if this team was 12-5 last year, A, would Belichick be out of a job?
Well, that's the thing. He wouldn't be. Right? And you wouldn't have a rookie quarterback either, right?
B, wouldn't Mac Jones still be here?
Yeah.
And C, maybe Jerod Mayo's just still somewhere on the field helping out, right?
Yeah. So, well, and I think that's another piece of this that some people have hit on it, but I think it's flown a little bit under the radar.
Yeah.
This whole transition is probably at least one, if not 2 years before everyone wanted it to happen, right? I think the original goal was Bill would be here at least through 2025, maybe even 2026. And then Mayo, at that point, he would have been an assistant for, you know, 6, 7, 8 years. Then he would take over, have more experience. Maybe you would have had a either.
And then you wake up and realize the girl wasn't real in your dreams. That's what happened.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think this happened a lot faster than everyone else. So Mayo, in addition to being a first-time head coach, it's on an accelerated timetable, I think more so than everybody expected it to be.
Okay, but should it not be when you've only won four games?
No, that's what I'm saying. I get it, right? And you and I had many discussions. I was one of those people. I wish they had given Bill one more year and taken some personnel control away from him offensively. That obviously didn't work out. It probably wasn't going to work out.
But wasn't that the conversation that allegedly that was going on that Bill was saying, you know, that he came to him like, look, give up the control. You can still be the coach. He said no.
So that, and I was one of those people, I said, I wish they could find a way to have Bill get one more year. But, I mean, they had more than enough justification to make a change. It's just that change, I think, happened at least one, if not 2 years before they thought it was going to happen originally.
All right, the underrated KJ and Lyons in for Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. 617-779-7937, text line 37937. We're also on Twitch. Just type in Boston WEEI. Would you rather more likely to either or next, plus your text? Thanks so much for hanging out. Your Labor Day.
Oh, baby.
KJ and Lyons, Labor Day, Monday, possible hangover day from cookouts yesterday. Thank you so much for being here. We're in for Joe's and Keith. 617-779-7937, text line 37937. We'll get to your text messages shortly. So I have to share this, and John and I have been discussing this for those who have followed the over-underrated KJ and Lyons show.
The over underrated.
I think maybe because I know we're going to have my buddy in from Vegas next hour. He's going to get up at 8 in the morning to tell us what college teams to bet on that are not in Massachusetts. And some NFL, too. For futures only, not like next week's game. Nobody's going to discuss like Liberty versus our holy state of father.
You're not going to bet on the Liberty Flames, man? DeMario Douglas's alma mater? Come on.
Hey, that's a sin. That's a sin. You get it? Liberty is a school that's... Anyway. So John and I have played EA College Football 25 against each other in what we would call like a dark match. And so tonight, what do we say, John? Like this afternoon about 5 o'clock?
Yeah, about 5 o'clock Eastern time, yeah.
5 o'clock Eastern time, we're going to have our match live on Twitch at WEEIKJ. So we can't do it on the main because the other. But on WEEIKJ, you will see John and I play each other. So during the dark match, I asked John, I was like, hey, do you have a headset? Because I had ordered a headset. I'd like to talk to John. I'm not that much of a junk talker. But I wanted to talk to John as we were playing the game. He could hear my emotions. I got smoked. Okay, I got smoked in the game. I'm not gonna lie. So John says, "Okay, I'm gonna get a headset when we get off the air today. I'll stop by before I go home and get one." Then John says, "Hey, I just ordered one, and it should be delivered to my house before we play the game." I'm thinking it's Labor Day. People are not working. Like, how come you just wouldn't go into the store? You can walk home with it.
So I was gonna go into the store, and then I went on Amazon, and it was like, "Oh, you can have it between 2 and 6." And I was like, all right, I'll give it a shot.
A.M.?
Yeah, it said P.M. It did say P.M. I will give you that. You know what I'm wondering, KJ?
It's Labor Day.
I want to get your thoughts on this. Should we? Okay. So obviously the thing, anyone who plays EA College Football knows you have to have an even matchup because no matter how good a player is or isn't, if the teams aren't even, it's not going to work.
Right. Playing Vanderbilt against Alabama is not going to work.
It's just not going to work out. Right. I wonder if we should have some listener suggestions for our matchup.
No, because I've only played with one team. I played with Texas.
Oh, I was going to play with Texas.
How are you going to play with my team after we just played each other? It should be the rematch of the. Who did you play with, Alabama or Georgia?
I honestly don't remember. I think it was Alabama.
Oh,
I think
you're
it was
that
Alabama.
Guy. I honestly don't remember, though I smoked you 72-0.
I play a lot. So I think it was. I think it was.
I know.
I think it was Alabama, Texas. Now that you mention it, I think I was Bama. You were Texas, if I remember.
I'm going to play Texas again. I can't just turn around and say, okay, I'm just going to take Ohio State.
I didn't know.
I don't know what they do.
I don't know if the listeners wanted Ohio State, Michigan, or something.
I don't care what they give me because I'm not going to get on a stream and lose 84-0 just because I'm just figuring out what Ohio State does in the last 2 minutes of the in the fourth quarter. I'm not doing that.
I played a game at Texas A&M the other night. That Stadium Pulse, because that's the number one Stadium Pulse stadium. Holy smokes.
I've only lost two games. I've lost to Ohio State at Ohio State, and I lost to Texas A&M at Texas A&M. So you're absolutely right about that Pulse.
Yeah, those ones and zeros don't even know what's coming for them, KJ. Yeah.
You want to hear a good one? So I have a dynasty with Ole Miss. And
I don't want to hear about Ole Miss dynasty.
So I had a big.
You don't have a headset. You're
big waiting win
for
against Georgia, right? But I might miss the college football playoff because I lost to unranked Oklahoma on a walk-off pick six.
Does anybody feel bad for you? Like
you
I'm still
feel
on
bad
like
for
how
I was
on Labor
so
Day?
Angry.
How on Labor Day you think someone is going to really be having a full effort of delivering your headset to your house?
Well,
on
the good
Labor
news
Day,
is there's a Walmart.
Well, you could have just walked into a store.
There's a Walmart up the street from my house.
It would be under your arm as you walk out the store. You wouldn't have to worry about anybody on the porch.
I know, but I got stuff to do this afternoon. Okay. You know, I got to mentally prepare for our game, too. So
it's not that deep.
You know, it's just it's high-end stuff, KJ.
Okay, well, fine. I just know that can we make a truce here?
Yeah.
Can we reduce the settings to at least varsity?
Like, what I think we had him on All American last time.
It was on All American, and I'm not All American skill. So if you can beat me 110-0 varsity,
I think you hustled me. I think this is going to be like you're like Christopher Walken in Pool Hall Junkies. You know, you're going to come out and you're just going to be running plays that I haven't seen before. This is a setup, you know, because you notice you played the one game off Twitch and I won, and then you're like, hey, let's play the next one on Twitch in front of the people.
You could be on to something.
You're setting me up.
Even Jackson from the Greg Hill Show said, KJ, you got to come stronger than that. Yeah. So he's like, he's been kind of coaching me up, kind of like.
Oh, yeah, so now
Apollo
you have
Creed
a coach too.
I might
bring Jacob with me then.
779-7937. Text line 37937. Jacob, what you got on the text line?
All right, let's see. What do we have here? First up, we have, let's see. Lions, Scotty G from the Circle. You're the offensive line guru. How do you fix this in the next couple of years? Draft, free agency, or trade?
First of all, shout out to Scotty G. Second of all, look, this offensive line, it's tough. There's a couple options you have there. And KJ, I know you can't wait to listen to this, right? There's a couple
cannot
options.
Cannot wait for the paint to dry.
So there's a couple options you have. Option number one right now is if you can develop Caden Wallace into anything resembling a left tackle. He played just under 2,300 snaps at Penn State. All of them, though, were at right tackle. But I think he's got the body and he's got the flexibility to play left tackle. That's just going to take some time. If by the end of the season he's not the guy, that's going to be your first-round pick next year is going to be a left tackle. I think you're okay with Mike Onwenu and Layden Robinson on the right side long-term. I think you still need a stopgap or if you will, to a future planning for David Andrews. Sidisow at left guard's okay. But that left tackle, it's either going to be you develop Caden Wallace and you hit on that, which still is going to take 3 months, or it's your first-round pick next year. I wish I could sit here and tell Scotty G.
Can I move that the painter tape now?
I wish I could sit here and tell Scotty G and the people that there's some answer just right out there. Unfortunately, I just don't. There's no immediate answer. It's going to be something long-term.
Can I give you the Cliff Notes version on that answer? Go spend. If the high-end wide receivers are not going to come here because of the tax, then go get the offensive linemen, spend for them because they're not going to cost as much as a wide receiver, and they might be able to deal with the tax here because they would be in a lower tax base. So
I think, too, sorry to cut you off, KJ, but I think, too, that's where Elliott Wolf does deserve some criticism because I think on the whole, Elliott Wolf had a pretty good offseason. He retained a lot of the Patriots' good players. I think, obviously, we don't know yet, but I think the draft is pretty good. But the left tackle market, look, there wasn't a lot out there, but I mean, he chose to take a risk on a guy like Okorafor instead of Jonah Williams. Like, I think that was a mistake. And I think that's one thing, KJ, to our earlier discussion, people are going to blame Mayo and they're going to blame Scott Peters when the offensive line plays bad. And sure, they have some responsibility, but I think you got to look at Wolf first and what they did at left tackle or didn't do in the offseason.
Go spend money. It will get John Lyons talking about offensive line in
like
3 seconds.
Wait till you get me talking about receivers.
Well, at least they're flashy. Yeah, they go out and catch the ball. We're talking about a bunch of guys that get, I mean, they're important, don't get me wrong. But I mean, good gracious, like how many, outside of Cole Strange's jersey, how many other offensive lineman jerseys do you see at football games?
The occasional David Andrews, that's
the occasional
about it.
David Andrews.
That's about
and
it.
Most
you know
people
what, KJ,
bought the Strange jersey because it's 69.
I think I need to buy a Mike Onwenu jersey and wear it on our Twitch stream tonight when we play EA College Football.
Now, see, now you're spending too much money out of the joint account. You know, you're buying two things, you're buying a jersey on the way home. Just, you know, keep it simple. All right, we're a minute away from Would You Rather More Likely To Either Or. One more text, 37937. What you got, Jacob?
Okay, I see. Nah, he's definitely minced his words. That's the issue. He talks out of both sides of his mouth.
Who, Mayo? Yeah,
Mayo.
I mean, well, here's the thing. It's still one mouth. I would be more concerned if Elliott Wolf was saying one thing and Gerard Mayo was saying something different, okay? It's only Gerard Mayo that's saying all different things. I mean, he knows what the absolute truth is. Do you need to really know? I mean, like, put in perspective, John. Like, some media organizations have reduced their staff to cover the Patriots. So they even tell you what they really, it's not really that important. The team isn't going to be really that good. So does it really matter to the coach what he tells you? Like, it doesn't matter.
Well, and that's the thing, too, I think, to keep in perspective here, because I've been critical on some of the contradicting statements Mayo has made over the summer and Wolf has made and Van Pelt has made. But what matters most is, do they have a clear message to the team behind the scenes? Like, if they're saying, hey, Jacoby's the guy, we're going to develop May, fine. If they're saying, well, it's a competition, well, Jacoby's the guy, no, it's actually a competition, no, then I think it's a problem behind the scenes. But to keep it in perspective, yes, I think it's important to have clear messaging publicly, and they do need to improve on that a little, but it's much more important, what is the messaging behind the scenes? Are all the guys on the same page with what the plan? And even if they don't know all the intricate details of the plan of quarterback, do they know kind of what's going on and is everybody on the same page?
All right, still to come on KJ and Lyons, keywords, Boston College, snitching, Jeremy Swayman, and the Red Sox. But now it's time for... Yeah! All our KJ and Lyons fans, shout out who know the words to the song. Let's have some fun.
Would you rather more likely to either or I ask of you? Would you rather more likely to either or I ask of you?
All right, three questions. Would you rather more likely to happen an either or? They can be in anything, sports, life. Here we go.
All right, first one. Would you rather give Jeremy Swayman the money he wants but shorten the years, 5 years, or give him top five AAV for 8 years at 9.35 average annual value?
That is an awesome question. I would probably give him the top five for the length because at the back end of that contract, it might not be top five anymore, and I think he's young enough that I would do it. But I don't even love going over nine for him, to be completely honest.
Well, if you put him in the top five, he would come out at about 9.35, but right. I'm with you. Give him the 5 years and then see where the option lies after 5 years. Usually guys who are now getting these bigger deals are around 30, so you get it gives you about 5 years to see where Swayman is. And if he gives you everything you want, like a couple of championships, then yes, pay him all the money he wants.
And I think one side note to remember, the cap's going to go up a little bit every year. So,
right. Yeah, that so buy yourself time. We're both on the same. All right, next.
More likely to happen. Boston College upsets Florida State on the road, or the Patriots offense scores 3 touchdowns against the Bengals on the road.
Ooh, John.
So I'm going to go with the Patriots scoring 3 touchdowns just because I have a lot of questions about that Bengals defense. Not that they suck, but I have questions there about how good they can really be. And look, I would love BC to win tonight, but Florida State coming off a loss, I don't think they lose 2 in a row.
3 touchdowns by the Patriots offense? Are they all on fake plays? I mean, we're talking about, you just talked about the offensive line.
One of them's going to be a fumble rooski that David Andrews scores, and then you'll have to talk about the offensive line.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, if that happens, then yeah, maybe your comment hits me. But I wonder if Boston College does upset Florida State on the road.
Like, and not to talk out of both sides of my mouth, but I would not be shocked if BC upsets. I just think the 3 touchdowns with the Pats is a little more likely.
More likely to happen can't be both.
Both can happen. One's just more likely. That's all.
Gosh. Boston College, I think, has a very good chance to upset Florida State on the road. I do not believe in any of these top-tier ACC teams. Look what's happened to Clemson. Dabo Sweeney has problems with integration. He does not believe in mixing the portals with the recruits. So you've got real issues in the ACC, and I think Bill O'Brien can capture and potentially make a strong move in the ACC this year. I think it's more likely that Florida State gets upset on the road than the Patriots score 3 touchdowns offensive side against the Bengals.
I'm with you, KJ. Either or. Your boss.
The people are.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Your boss discovers you've been asked to testify in his divorce.
Uh-oh.
Do you either ask for a raise and more perks to withhold testimony or tell his wife that you will testify?
You want me to take this, John?
You can start, yeah.
I can start? I would tell his wife to testify because if she's come to me, she probably knows that the boss and I don't like each other. And if she wins, she gets half. And now he's probably got to think of some other things he's got to do versus me saying, give me a raise and more perks, because once he does that, he may fire me right after the divorce, especially if he still loses.
Yeah, I would testify because I really don't want to commit perjury for anyone, including someone that could just fire me anyway.
The Red Sox, are they really in trouble now that lost to Detroit yesterday? Their wild card chance is next. KJ and Lyons in for Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. Happy Labor Day.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.